started. My guest today is Russ Festino. Russ, how are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Thanks nice intro, by the way.
Thanks a lot. That was your idea. Before we get started, I want to say congratulations on your recent award from INETA.
Thank you. Yeah, that was exciting, man. I'm telling you. The INETA Lifetime Achievement Award.
Very good. Well deserved.
Well, you know, getting recognized by your peers is always a beautiful thing. And so happy to get that call from you. I know you're very involved with INETA. And,
I had the privilege of actually making the call.
Yeah, so that was really cool, man. And when you told me it was the Lifetime Achievement Award, like my jaw dropped. I was like, wow. And, you know, what's really funny about that, because I went back and I started putting a, you know, blog post together and all that for it, and I started adding up all the numbers. And I've actually helped educate over a million computer programmers when it's all said and done, between all the online activity, between all the in-person seminars, and now a lot of the sponsorships that I'm involved in at Kubota One, and trying to get you know, events like this help, right? And getting more people educated that way. So
yeah, that's what it's all about. It's about sharing the knowledge.
Yeah, you know,
I know I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but what knowledge I do have, I try to share with other people. I think you're the same way.
Yeah,
this is the second part of that, anyway.
Yeah.
You're doing, I know you're known for mobile development. That's really your thing. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, it was, you know, that was my deep dive area for quite some time, and still is once I get a little extra time on my hands. I really have a passion for that, and then now, more recently, is the Windows 8 app store.
Okay.
And so now I've been kind of switching gears there. It's a bigger market, of course. You know?
Right. So. Potentially, for sure.
Yeah.
So you're also doing a lot of HTML5 stuff. How does that fit into the mobile stuff and the Windows 8 stuff?
Yeah, well, I tell you, it is, you know, I went to the Iowa Code Camp last summer.
I've never been.
And it was very good. And I went to Josh Broughton, a gentleman named Josh Broughton, do a session on responsive web design. And, you know, the light bulbs finally went off. And I'm sitting in there and I'm thinking, you know, geez, every conference I'm going to lately, these JavaScript and HTML5 sessions are packed.
Yeah,
you know, you go in there, you know, I be doing like a Windows 8 session, you know, and I get a few people there, and then these HTML5 and JavaScript, they're packed, they're, you know, standing room only. Mm-hmm. And this is conference after conference after conference, and I'm like, what is the big interest here? I hate JavaScript. I used to, you know, this is like, to me, a step backwards, you know?
That's funny you say that. I have a session that I do sometimes.
Oh, yeah?
I've learned to stop worrying and love jQuery.
There you go,
so
jQuery.
Struggles with JavaScript.
That's right. Well, jQuery certainly helps. That's, that's a definite. And it is one of those things that he's going over, like, you know, really the pain points. Like, why do you want to do this sort of work, this extra work with JavaScript, HTML? Well, it really comes down to making money and not losing money. You know, you start having a site and it's not mobile friendly, it's not, doesn't scale like to the different sizes of all the devices that are accessing it, guess what? You're gonna lose business. And this is proven statistically. He showed a lot of studies, and I think something like 60% of the folks, if you go to a site that doesn't fit your device or form factor, you're out of there. You know, you
so just. I look great on my computer at home, but as soon as I open my phone,
right, you start guy doing pinch and zoom and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't work. And the other statistic is, you know, just how fast access to the internet is done, you know, by your phones. You know, I'm digging out my phone here for a prop, but you know, the mobile devices are, you know, you think about it. I'm sitting on the couch, my laptop is 10 feet away. And I gotta look something up here.
I can't be bothered to walk 10 feet.
I pull out my phone and I start looking it up. I'm here.
Yep.
And this is the mindset that a lot of people have nowadays. And if you're selling something, guess what? Your site should bring up good. It should look good on that type of device.
So JavaScript is gonna solve that problem, this idea that we're gonna have a site that looks good on a mobile device and it already looks good on a desktop, or what?
Well, yeah, I mean, that in combination with HTML5 and the style sheets and everything is just really generically supported, you know, across the board through a browser.
Okay.
And that's really the key here. Everything supports HTML5, every browser, you know, and it is...
Every mobile browser.
Every mobile browser, and all the current ones, you know, that are out there. And so that's really the platform. And because you have that common thread across the board, then you start looking at tools that you can use across the board to help you do that.
So, and before that, you mentioned this phrase, responsive design. Can you define that?
Yeah, it's basically, if you have a site that you display, and it is on a full-size like laptop, and then you go down to a bring up that same site on a smaller like tablet PC, it should automatically adjust everything. And so it's not like, you know, off center or jagged, or everything should be smooth. It really should grow and shrink in a really nice manner, and that's the responsive part of it.
Okay.
And they always do the example where, you know, you bring up a browser on the desktop during a demo, and then you resize it, then resize it back up, and you can see the site, how it looks at the various sizes as it's shrinking and growing. But it's just people don't do that.
So there may be a menu across the top, and it might wrap some of the good-looking menu.
Those types of things, exactly.
And then responsive design said, don't wrap, let's maybe change it to a different type of menu. Or
yes.
Maybe shrink, maybe it's better to change the size, maybe using a different control.
Yeah, different font size, different, you know, it's just making it look better no matter what size it's rendered at.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how specifically are you attacking this problem using JavaScript, HTML5, and some of the tools that your company makes?
Well, you know, it is, you know, there's a lot of different tags you can learn to make it device independent and automatically adjust. So some of those are some of the things you want to look at.
Like HTML tags.
Yeah, and you know, I can't, it was, I think there's a device tag. I'm at a loss for which one it is, but it allows to do just what I was talking about. If you have a control on that page, it automatically will resize no matter what size it is. And so the controls are which most set at component one is the set I did the session on today. And it was HTML5 everywhere with Widgmo was what the title of the session was.
Okay.
And it was really a plain, development scenario type session where maybe you first started out with, you know, maybe I got an ESP website and I'm going to add an HTML page here and I'm going to put all the references in, and then you drop a calendar control in, which is our Widgmo, which is all references, right? Then you instantiate it and then you go ahead and use it inside the body tags of your HTML. Well, that's great. That works good. Now, what approach do I use if I'm using the light switch, new CTP that's out that's also got an HTML5 client? Mm. Well, it's a very similar approach. You go ahead and bring up your default page that's going to be rendering your HTML page. You put in the same references. You put in the same controls. And boy, it looks very similar. And it's the same exact controls that you're using in both of those scenarios.
Okay. So Widgmo controls, they're rendering out some HTML5 elements and HTML.
Yeah, that's right. And then you have the ability to set properties and all that kind
of
stuff.
And JavaScript as well.
Yeah, and capture the events and all that stuff. I was just talking to Ken Tucker. He did redid his SpaceCoast.net user group using Widgmo controls. He used the calendar control, and he says he liked that because of the extension of it's an extension basically of jQuery. But the jQuery control didn't expose the events that he needed. He needed to capture, like, when you change months, then I want to bring up the calendar of information for that month. And those event handlers weren't exposed. But our product exposes those. So that's where he started using the calendar control widget.
All right. So your product was built on top of jQuery UI.
Yes. Okay. Yes. It's just an extension to it. That's exactly it.
Oh, very cool. Now, so let me ask you this. If I use a tool like Widgmo, does that free me from having to learn HTML5 and JavaScript or... Where does that lead me as a developer?
As a developer, it does free you up to spend your time more on the coding aspect, the business logic, and less with the UI.
Okay.
In fact, the demo I gave was I brought up using Naka with JavaScript. It gives you more object-oriented coding. It's really a good transition from a .NET developer to doing JavaScript.
Hmm.
And then if you right mouse click on the project in Visual Studio, say, okay, view in Blend, you can bring up Blend and then set all the properties up in the designer there. And so now you've got that working for you. So you spend less time writing code and markup and just let the tools go ahead and,
sure.
and do their thing. And then you got all the theme support too with the theme roller, and that'll apply themes throughout your entire application and site. So again, less time doing the UI stuff and more time allows you to do for the hardcore business logic.
Okay. I think you know what leads me to that question is because we got web forms years ago. And they were nice, you could drag and drop things. And people didn't bother to learn HTML, they didn't bother to learn HTTP, mm-hmm. and that kind of bit some people. And I wonder, is this the golden bullet that we're going to be able to use tools like Wijmo to create our websites without having to learn the underlying technologies of it, or is it a combination of the two? What's your philosophy?
Yeah, no, you got to learn it. Yeah. I mean, I'm fairly new to this arena myself, being a very strong, you know, .NET background, C#, XAML. That's really where my expertise is.
And so now you're moving to the web.
Yeah, this is a whole new area, and I think it is for many developers, and I think it gets another good reason for a lot of these rooms being packed on this particular topic is they want to learn, you know, and it's something that you do have to learn. And I think the more you, like when I sat in a Java session in Iowa, I was floored at all the different things that you could do with just style sheets, and it just blew me away. And I was like, wow, this is really good. And then, you know, a lot of good things coming with the new releases and a lot of stuff coming out too. It's just it's really good. So, yeah, you're gonna have to learn both.
I have a lot to learn.
Yeah, you need both on that one.
Anything else?
Well, let's see. Just, you know, been really busy doing blog series and stuff like that. So, you know, check out my blog. And
where's your blog?
It is on component1.com. Just look at the blogs and look up Russ Fistino.
Okay.
And find it there.
And you have RussCamp.
Yeah. I got over 90 episodes published to date. I got a lot in the hopper. We just finished up a great one that stars you, as a matter of fact. It's the Tech Ed Speaker Idol from last summer.
That'll probably be out before this is out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. It's really, my video editor, these guys, they do a great job. And I gave them reams and reams of content. And they managed to really scrunch it down into like a 10-minute segment. But they really captured a lot of the comments from judges. Uh-huh. And I think this is going to be a very valuable video for anybody doing presentations to look at.
This is the speaker idol.
I
learned a lot by being there.
Exactly. And they had a lot of good tips. They really did. I mean, I've been doing presentations for a long time, like you know, and the stuff that they were saying was really valid. It was really, you know, one guy had his hand in his pocket, very nonchalant. It's like, it's too nonchalant. You want to be, you know, and all these little things that they pointed out, they were dead on. They were absolutely dead on. The judging was fantastic, and we captured a lot of that. So it's a very educational 10-minute clip on Speaker Idol on feedback on what you should be doing in your presentation. So
very
any
cool.
developer, evangelist, anybody doing presentations will get a lot out of that.
And who won that again?
Yeah, Mr. Yay! You're going to be presenting at Tech Ed next year.
Let's cut them right there. Thanks
all right,
a lot,
man.
Russ.
Take care. Thanks a lot. Good seeing you, good day. Technology events are the friends you make. I tell you, it is awesome. Technology and friends is beautiful. It's all about networking, all about community. And, you know, I've worked hard, for example, to get that Lifetime Achievement Award from Aletta, but I had, from Ineta, but I had a lot of fun doing it. So, technology and friends.